Welcome to a burning fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Can we find such a man as this? The question that Pharaoh raised after Joseph had given him such an advice about preserving the produce of the good years in Egypt for the lean years that were to come. Can we find such a man as this? We're studying the characteristics of Joseph, those good qualities that he possessed, qualities that he developed. He wasn't born with them. He had to grow them. He had to develop them. And he possessed them and he demonstrated them in times of adversity as well as prosperity. We've also taken note how that character is something that we want to have the right kind of character. We're studying his character so that we can imitate those good things about him in our own lives. And the first thing that we mentioned last time was he was obedient to his father. The Bible teaches children to be obedient to parents. It is not a good thing for a young person to think that he is superior to his parents and that he doesn't have to obey them. The Bible teaches for children to obey parents, and Joseph did that. But secondly, Joseph withstood the test of being mistreated, and he was mistreated by his own kin. Friend, what happened to Joseph was cruel. It was unjust. It was inhumane. He was sent from his home where he enjoyed security and love and physical provision. But he was overpowered. He was disclaimed. He was totally rejected by his own flesh and blood. He must have suffered physically and mentally and emotionally from this severe ordeal over the many years after his brothers put him into the pit. If ever a lad might have been caused to be resentful and grow bitter, Joseph in the pit, Joseph in slavery, Joseph in prison, those would have been circumstances that would certainly made him bitter. Sometimes the worst kind of treatment comes from those you least expect it. Oh, it's sad when family members are vicious toward each other. And what must the Heavenly Father think when there is strife among his children and brethren, and when we might mistreat each other? You know, people sometimes say things and act in bad ways. They hold grudges against their own kin. They'd never considered treating other people that way, their neighbors that way. No maltreatment hurts as bad as the maltreatment from physical and spiritual kinfolk. But Joseph had the remarkable quality to not allow evil in others to destroy goodness within himself. I want to repeat that. That is a quality that we need to develop. Not allow evil in others to destroy goodness within ourselves. Friend, because others do wrong, that's no justification for a person to turn around and do wrong himself. You see, Joseph knew and he lived what the Apostle Paul later wrote in the book of Romans, beginning with verse 19. Paul said, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, neither give place unto wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, and I will repay,' saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." For Joseph did that very thing toward his brothers who had so mistreated him. But we also see that Joseph handled the challenge against his moral purity. Now, when he was sold into Egypt, he became the servant of Potiphar. And Potiphar gave him charge over all of his household. And Joseph's duties took him into the living quarters of Potiphar. And while there, he was repeatedly approached by Potiphar's wife to commit fornication with her. But he steadfastly refused by calling such a thing a great wickedness and a sin against God. Oh, it would have been a sin against Potiphar. It would have been against sin against Potiphar's wife. It would have been a sin against himself. But what was so important with Joseph, he said, this would be a sin against God. And he refused. He withstood temptation, and he retained his moral purity. Can we find such a man as this? You see, Joseph learned one way to escape the ravages of temptation is to put distance between yourself and temptation. He fled from her presence. He looked upon temptation not so much as an opportunity to sin, but as an opportunity to resist evil and not sin. And we need to learn that so that every time we encounter temptation, we can overcome it, and we can thereby grow stronger. And this disposition toward temptation equips us to face the next temptation from a stronger position. Can we find such a one as this? But let's look again at Joseph. He knew how to withstand the trial of false accusations that shattered his reputation. Refusing to be immoral with Potiphar's wife did not deter her from later accusing Joseph of attempting to do the very thing that he refused to do. The accusation was a vicious lie. It was unjust. It was unfounded. But it was believed by Potiphar nonetheless. And once he was a trusted servant, but now he was banished from the household and was cast into prison, with his reputation destroyed by the wickedness of others. Friend, there's a difference between reputation and character. You know, reputation is what others may say and think of you. And this can be good or it can be bad. Of course, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. We would all like to have a good reputation. But you know, sinful people can and often do destroy the reputations of good people. One is not likely to have a good reputation if he has an evil character, but he just might have a good character and have his reputation destroyed undeservedly. But character is not what others think of you. It's what God knows you to be. And friend, while others may destroy your reputation, only you can destroy your character. Joseph did not let the things that happened unto him destroy his good character that he possessed. Can we find such a man like this among us? Indeed, there are no doubt a lot of people that have a good character, and their reputations have been destroyed by evil and wicked people. But Joseph, he weathered that storm. And again we see that Joseph knew what it was to be forgotten and to be unappreciated. He must have wondered after being sold into Egypt why his fathers and brothers never did come searching for him. Of course we know why Joseph didn't, because Jacob was deceived by the sons to think that Joseph had been killed by a wild beast. Now, Joseph didn't know that, of course. He was honest and sincere, Jacob was, in thinking that Joseph had been killed by a beast. But though he was honest and sincere about it, he was obviously wrong. And we need to learn from this that, friend, just being honest and sincere, now that's qualities that we ought to have, but that doesn't prove that what we believe is true. Jacob believed Joseph was dead, but he wasn't dead, though he honestly and sincerely believed it. You know, this is one of man's most difficult lessons to learn, especially in matters religious. A lot of people are so deceived. Just be honest and sincere and all will be well. Friend, you must be honest. You must be sincere. But you must prove what is right and wrong from the Word of God and not the way you might feel about it. But also let's consider the ingratitude of the butler. Joseph had interpreted his dream along that of the baker. And the way he had interpreted the dreams of the baker and the butler, they came to pass just that way. And when the butler was released back into the service of Pharaoh, Joseph specifically asked the butler to remember him before Pharaoh. After all, Joseph didn't deserve to be where he was. But the scripture tells us that the butler forgot about him. It's one of the burdens of life to think oneself to be neglected and forgotten. It is certainly a sorry feeling to make fate feel unwanted and unnecessary. And you know, sometimes people do weird and tragic things to themselves and to others in reaction to such treatment and feeling toward themselves. But Joseph did not even let this painful experience destroy him. He obviously knew that God cared for him, and therefore he was never totally alone. He was not totally forgotten. And who among us has this same confidence and this same disposition? Friend, I'm here to tell you, all of us can be sure we're never forgotten and alone if we be in Christ. Now, in all the preceding events that we've mentioned, Joseph suffered adversity, and his character proved sterling and stalwart. And he was later elevated to high honor and rank and power and position. He had prestige and wealth. And having faithfully endured so much abuse, how would he fare in the unexpected prosperity that he now comes to enjoy? Men have done well in times of difficulty and hardship and strife, only to wreck their lives when confronted with the peculiar temptations of good fortune. Power can ruin a lot of people. Authority goes to the head of a lot of people, to their destruction and that of others. The ability to have and to do as one wishes can be a temptation. Would Joseph turn against his former persecutors? Would he reap his revenge upon them? He had the power to do that if he was of that disposition. But what did Joseph do? Friend, in this last portion of Joseph's life, we see a most Christ-like quality about him. Some have described Joseph as being maybe the most Christ-like Old Testament character of which we can read. Because of his forgiveness toward others, he forgave his offenders. He was willing to let the evil done to him pass by and to be remembered no more. As for his brothers in particular, inasmuch as they gave evidence of a genuine penitent spirit, they showed their regret for what they had done evil toward Joseph. Joseph returned evil with good, and his brothers need not fear him at all. Joseph told them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. You see, there was not a grudge in his heart. He did not hold resentment. He had no retaliatory spirit. Rather, he was kind. He was forgiving. He was considerate. He believed that God's hand was in it all. Can we find such a one as this? Friend, in whom the Spirit of God is, let us be of the noble quality and character as was Joseph. But the perfect pattern for noble quality is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.